This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to Book the Pod!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It is a Washington Capitals podcast, which means it's a podcast about your 2018 Stanley Cup champions. Thank you all for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcast, and Spotify. Well, the boys are in the bubble. The Capitals have arrived in Toronto along with the rest of the Eastern Conference teams. They are in Hotel X, and they already have an exhibition game under their belts. Joining me, as always, to talk all about it since they're in Canada, Coach Dan, what's going on, man? How are you?
I'm doing all right. How you doing?
You know, I'm doing okay. Still surviving in the pandemic that we've got going on right now. The Capitals were back for an exhibition game up against the Carolina Hurricanes, and it was good. It was really good to have Caps hockey back on my TV. I know there's a lot going on right now, and I know there's so many scary things that we have to always worry about, but for, you know, a little bit of time, it was nice to see hockey again on my TV.
I didn't have a chance to watch the game because I was still working.
Those 4 o'clock games are going to do that to you.
Yeah, this is going to suck because I'm usually not leaving until between 5:30 and 6 most days. So, you know, I went and I saw the highlights. It was nice to hear the guys on the broadcast again. It was nice to watch hockey. It was just, it's a little weird because I'm watching it in July and it's not like, I don't know, some weird, like, goofy joke of a game.
Right.
Someone put, like, it was nice to hear Emmerich on Twitter with a video, and I think it was the Islanders scoring. Someone on the Islanders scoring, and I was like, it is nice to hear that again. And sports is going to be what it's supposed to be and what it has been for those of us who follow European football who've had it for a little while now. It's an escape. Yeah. And usually it's an escape from work or life or whatever the case may be, whatever's going on personally that you may want, you know, you need that. If it's hockey, 2.5 hours, 2 hours. If it's soccer, 14 hours. If it's football, whatever the case may be, you know, it gives you an opportunity to get an escape from your normal everyday life, which, you know, not necessarily, not saying everyone has to have a bad situation you have to escape from, but it's nice to watch either way. And so it's like TV or movies in that way. You know, it's escape from the normalcy of what you're doing every day. And I think given everything going on now, people need that escape. And so to have sports back is great. Whether it's a good idea or not, if you're the Miami Marlins, it's probably not. But, you know, it's kind of nice to have that escape, except for the fact that it's when I'm still at work.
Yeah.
And it's during our car pickup. So I couldn't even, like, sit in my office and listen to the game while getting something else done. I'd be able to listen to probably the first, like, 5 minutes of the first period. Because, what, 4 o'clock game, puck's dropping at, like, 4:07?
Yeah.
So, really, I'm hearing the first 3 to 5 minutes of the game. And then maybe I could catch the third period on the radio. Maybe the end of the second and the third period on the radio. But I doubt I'd be able to maybe catch the last few minutes of the game on TV. So, if they could have the later games, that'd be cool.
I mean, hopefully they'll be the only game on, you know, a couple weeks from now. Hopefully we'll see that. But it is weird to have the game in Toronto, to have Joe B. and Locker in Bethesda, to have John Walton in D.C. at the wrong arena. You know, it's crazy what we got to do right now. But let's talk a little bit about the aesthetic of what we kind of saw in this game. It was the first one the Caps played in Toronto. And, of course, there are no fans in the stands, unfortunately. However, I got to give it up to the NHL. I absolutely loved the look that they did. They covered up all of the seats with these NHL logos and the, like, I don't even know what to call it, just these tarps or whatever. And then they have video screens above the first couple rows of seats, and they've got video screens in the corners. It made it feel like this was an important game and that this was an important sport that people should be watching. When you watch baseball right now, it's hopefully we can do that for a little bit. I mean, with the way things are going, who knows? But you see all those empty seats and you see even the cardboard cutouts that they have. And it kind of takes me out of the game a little bit. But here, you're not seeing those empty seats. You're seeing these big billboard-esque things for the NHL. And it, again, it's all about taking my mind off of COVID and the pandemic and everything and actually enjoying the game. And I'm not looking at those empty seats. Even during the regular season when there were fans, I always was annoyed that the first six rows were empty at the beginning of each period because people have gone out to get more beer. I'm like, hey, the game's starting. You ought to be back in your seat. But I loved the way this looked. It made it feel important. It made it feel like they were in like a coliseum almost. It made them feel, I don't know. I really enjoyed what I saw from the NHL in that first game.
Yeah, I mean, I liked, given I only saw the highlights, but I liked the look of the arena. I thought with baseball, and I'm sure football is going to do this to an extent, and European football, they have sort of the cardboard cutouts, or they have the advertisements kind of covering over the seats. I think the way they made the rink look, just it looked kind of cool. Like, yeah. It did make it look like an exhibition game, which I know, like, technically that one was. But the rest of them, if they look like that, it will kind of look like an exhibition game. And I think whoever ends up winning Lord Stanley's Cup at the end of this is... It's not going to feel like a normal Stanley Cup win. Even if, like, if I'm sitting here and we're talking about later on, I don't feel like it's going to have that same level of... Maybe because it was the first one, but the same level of excitement. Like, I'm not going to go into it going, we did it! Like, we won the cup, you know? Well, not we, because we didn't do anything. But I don't feel like it has the same feeling. But the fact is they try to do something different to make the arena look kind of cool, and it does. It definitely doesn't look as good as it does with fans in the stands, but I don't think obviously you can't have that right now, and the cardboard cutouts, while fun, are just kind of silly. So I think this, I think they made it look cool. I guess they're making the best of a bad situation.
And we're kind of, I don't know, the NFL right now is still saying they're going to have a full season. They're still saying that, they're going to have 14,000 fans in most of the stadiums. I think Jacksonville said they were going to have 25,000 if they can, I mean, they don't even get that for their own home game normally. So I don't know what they're thinking. But My idea is, what do you think that the NFL could potentially learn from what the NHL is doing? Because we saw the MLB here in the summer, two teams are already shut down for about a week because of what's going on with COVID. Is there anything you think the NFL could learn from the NHL and the MLB to kind of get their season going? I think the hub cities are working. That's what I'm thinking. Like, the travel, obviously, I don't think is working for the MLB. I think the hub cities seem to be working. The NHL has recorded zero positive coronavirus cases since Phase 4 began.
I mean, it's the problem is that we still don't know enough about the virus to know specifically what's going to happen next. So, like, yeah. It's happened with Miami. Like, at any point, someone could contract it, and, you know, because you can be what's the word I'm looking for here? Like, you can have it and not know. I'm blaming.
It's asymptomatic.
Asymptomatic. And not know it, and it can be spread so easily. Yeah. And in a sport, it's not like baseball, where given the guys on the same team are near each other so much, you're not, you know, unless someone's throwing at someone's head, you're not really interacting with the other team's players for very long. First base, second, a little bit, third base. When they're up to bat a little bit, but it's not really the same versus hockey where you're body checking somebody, or football where you're a linebacker or a lineman and you're pushing someone else. You know, it's very different. So, I know the constant testing is great, assuming that the tests are working properly, but I think you just do what you can and hope that no one comes in with it and then that they just stay that way. But I think, you know, if one person gets it, they're in trouble because it's going to spread real fast.
I mean, we're seeing that right now with Miami and the Marlins. I mean, it's just it gets into a locker room and look what happens. 14 people come down with it from the first test. And now I think they're up to 17 or 18 people, and it just continues to spread. And now it's, you know, Philadelphia seems to have it. Two people in their organization have it. So, I mean, it spreads rapidly. This is not something that it can easily be contained. And we're seeing them take massive safety precautions. Samantha Pell, who reports on the Capitals, I believe for the Washington Post, she's in Toronto right now, and she's quarantined in her hotel room for 2 weeks. So she's going to miss the round robin game. She's missing the exhibition game. But, like, she can't even leave the room, the hotel room. She can't even go out to the pool or the gym in the hotel. If she's in Toronto for this 2 weeks, she's in that room quarantining.
I mean, is it a nice room?
I mean, she's a reporter. She's not a hockey player, so I assume she's got, probably, you know, like a TV and a bed and a bathroom, and that's about it.
A generic room.
Yeah.
Hopefully she's got, like, a Nintendo Switch or something, whether it brought her Xbox.
We'll see. So let's dig into this game. Didn't take Ovechkin long to come back to normal Ovechkin form. He came out and got the first goal of the game, and it was from the Ovi spot. Looked beautiful. Doesn't even look like Ovi has skipped a beat at all.
No, I mean, I'm not surprised considering how much he was working with on his shooting when he was in, you know, sort of lockdown or whatever. You know, we saw his kid shooting, so he clearly was working with him.
Yeah.
So it sounds like he's, you know, he kept himself in shape, and Reardon came out and said that he can't say I'm totally surprised. This is on the Caps website. The shape he came back in after the pause. I like how he's calling it the pause. How he's been working in practice, energy that he has had, that doesn't come by accident. So it sounds like, you know, he's working hard to make sure he'd be ready to go, and he was doing what he needed to do. And I think the teams that have players that were willing and capable and able to keep themselves in game shape or as close to game shape as possible while also, you know, working out at a rink or somewhere, they're going to be better situated to make a run.
And Ovi, again, in just complete Ovi form, he had an assist on the Kuznetsov goal. We saw Orlov to Ovechkin to Kuznetsov. Absolutely beautiful tic-tac-toe goal right there. And then we saw Big Tom Wilson, top-line Tom, just launch a pass to Ovechkin to set him up for Ovi's second goal of the day. I was very impressed with what the offense was able to do here in this exhibition game. It looks like they are, you know, they didn't take any time off at all. I am very impressed with everybody on the team for this game.
Yeah, I mean, to some extent, I felt like, at least in the highlights I saw, Carolina, like, was trying, but it didn't have that same feeling as you normally get during a game. And, you know, first one back, it kind of felt like a later preseason game kind of thing, but when you have all your main guys playing. But, you know, I think they had some solid passing, obviously some good goals. Would be nice to get to not have given up as many as they gave up. Would have been nice to not give up a goal 30 seconds after scoring your own, but they are the Capitals, and that's kind of their thing.
That so is definitely their thing.
You know what? If it says anything, they're in game shape because they're doing what they need to.
They are consistent.
That's a good thing, I guess. Yeah, if they're anything, they are consistent in the ways to frustrate us. So, as I always say, we'll see what happens. But, I think a win is obviously nice to start off with. I think it helps mentally to an extent with the players because they can be like, all right, we got that first one under our belt. We're ready to go to the next game. And I think having a couple of nice goals versus some flubs or some garbage goals, I think also gives you a little bit of a mental boost in terms of being prepared and ready for that next game.
Yeah, these were all beauty goals. Absolutely. Every single one of them was a beauty goal. And we always talk about how, you know, most games are won in the trenches and, you know, you want that guy to put their big butt in front of the goalie and get those dirty goals. But these, you did not need them. Ovi was doing what he was doing. Ovi doing Ovi things. And it was great to see. Now, one thing that was not good to see, unfortunately, was John Carlson go down during an exhibition game. And this is why a lot of owners hate exhibition games. But John Carlson got an awkward fall in, I guess it was into the boards. He didn't finish the game, and he did not practice today as we're recording this on Thursday. From what I understand, Todd Reardon hopes that he's back by Saturday because tomorrow is a day off for the team. But right now we don't know the extent of what that injury is. But hopefully we have John Carlson back in the lineup very soon, and hopefully he doesn't miss a game.
I mean, yeah, he's your best defenseman, and so to lose him for any amount of time when you're having this weird tournament that you're in, that's a problem. And it's not like you can go out and acquire somebody else. You have to hope that someone's going to step up and fill that role if he's missing. Be it a game or a number of games, you need one of your guys to step up, and ideally it's one of your veterans that steps up and is able to get even some fraction, high, hopefully a high, good number, or I don't know this math and that reference kind of got away from me, but hopefully someone steps up and can play even a small amount that to Carlson's level, you know, whether it's Jensen or Orlov or Kempney or Dylan, like one of these guys has an opportunity. Well, who are the defensive pairings? I don't think I've seen that. All right, so Kempney, Carlson, Dylan, Orlov, Singenthaler, Jensen. Not bad. With Carlson out, you know, I think they just, I don't think you slot Gudas in with Kempney, but maybe, and then you just bump everybody else up a pairing. I think Gudas, my guess is Gudas steps in since he was the seventh defenseman.
Ah, okay. I keep forgetting
that
about
Gudas. If I was to, that guy. yeah, that would be my guess if I had to venture one. That Gudas would step in. Maybe they put in with Kempney and just bump them down to the third pairing, or do you just bump up everybody on the right side, move Orlov up with Kempney, Jensen with Dylan, and Gudas with Singenthaler? Actually, that might be more likely. I don't know. Maybe just put Jensen with Kempney.
You do feel for John Carlson right now because he missed practice on the same day it's announced he is the newest Capital in the Funko Pop line. Mr. John Carlson's getting himself a Funko Pop.
I've already ordered one. No, I haven't. I don't know where to find it. Where do you find them?
I usually go Amazon, but I don't know. They're not out yet.
Oh, yet? I'm out. Never mind. I don't want one anymore.
But he joins Alex Ovechkin, TJ Oshie, and Braden Holtby as...
This one doesn't even look like him. Sorry, I keep interrupting you. This one doesn't even look like him.
I couldn't figure out who it was at first.
The rest really do.
I saw the four. Oshie's probably looks the most like him. I saw the four on the sleeve, and then I saw like the faded side part, and I'm like, all right, I think that's Carlson. It's good though. I like the fact that they're giving him before Nick Backstrom though. That's a little weird, but
yeah,
good
what?
For him. Yeah,
hating on the Swede. You can pre-order it from popinabox.us for $11.
What else did we see from that? There's a bunch of NHL players coming out, but there's going to be a Canadian exclusive away jersey Ovechkin and a Canadian Chase. So it's two, technically.
Wait, what?
There's a regular version that is the white jersey, and then there is a Chase version that comes with the Stanley Cup. So the Chase is a 1 in 36 chance of it getting to your store. So, like, you know, they ship out 12 in a box, and they put one Chase in every six box. So it's very difficult to get a Chase.
So what you're telling me is I now have to order two new Funkos. So I get yelled at twice.
This is what I'm telling you. If you want the Chase, you have to order six and then send five back.
I'm not doing that.
That's what flippers do, man. Oh, that's what if you're...
Oh, I kind of want the Gretzky LA Kings one, though.
That's a 10-incher. That one's big.
Oh, really? I want it less now. Oh, I'm definitely getting both of those, and I'm definitely getting yelled at.
I would like the Carlson. I would like the Ovi in the white jersey, and I would like the Ovi Chase with the Stanley Cup. I want them all. I do want them all. I don't care. I'm a single man, and I can buy what I want. I have a lot of disposable income.
I very much am not that anymore. I have dual income and one kid who keeps screaming, and you might, I don't know if you guys have heard him in the background. But who also wants to play with all my toys when he's got a million of his own freaking toys to play with, and I don't play with those. Stop touching my stuff, man. So I, you know, it sounds like Carlson. It looks like left. Let's see. I'm trying to look at what happened to him when he went down. Hold on.
Yeah, we don't like they can't say what's going on or anything like that anymore because of the new CBA. They're not allowed.
Whoa.
What?
That looks awkward. That's definitely his knee.
You looking at your high school yearbook? That was a good one.
He's going against the boards, goes to hit a Canes player, kind of knocks himself off balance, and as he's going, it looks like, I think, right hip into the boards. I hope they showed it again in slow motion. I keep rewinding. Right hip into the boards, his left knee kind of gets caught and awkwardly underneath him. It looks very awkward. I wouldn't be surprised if there was some knee damage there, but I think if it was really bad, they would have been like, he's not coming back. Then again, they usually go with Orpik, where they'd be like, he'll be back tomorrow. And then 6 months later, they're like, all right, he's back and playing again.
Right,
so,
right.
You know, if he comes back, it might have been that he overextended it a little bit, might have tweaked it. And it's an exhibition game. So you're like, nope, you're important. Go sit down. You're not playing anymore. We'll see you later. Versus if it was a real game, regular season or playoff game, you know, you might be like, hey, suck it up and go play.
We'll see what happens. John Carlson, that would be a huge, huge loss if he cannot play in the Stanley Cup playoffs here for the Capitals. I mean, he's a locker room leader. He's a leader on the ice. He's, again, the best defenseman the Capitals have. This would be a big one. This would be a huge, huge loss for the team. We saw what happened. Was it just last year, 3 years ago, when TJ Oshie got hurt? And he went down, and pretty much he got hurt, and the playoffs were over.
That was last year.
Was that last year?
That was, yeah. It given everything that's going on in the world, it feels like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
But no, that was last May, April?
Okay.
Last April.
All right. Well, we'll see what happens. But I'm a little proud of you and I, because
yeah!
I gotta say, we called the Ilya Samsonov news a full week before anybody else was talking about it. Our last show was 2 weeks ago, and we said, what are we going to do if he goes down? Who's going to back him up? And you said Vitek Vanacek wouldn't absolutely not back him up, which he did. But we'll get to that later.
No. Don't make it so definitive.
What you said.
Like I was like, screw that guy. My point was, I said that Copley, given he has more experience, would be the guy to back him up. Also, I haven't been to a Bears game in years, so I've never actually seen Vanacek play, except we went to the rookie practice. Remember? A couple years ago? Didn't we see him play then?
Probably.
Right? Yeah, and I was like, he's not very good. Well, it's a rookie thing, so. But he struggled a bit. Sorry, I'm being mean. He struggled a bit. And so you were very much on the Vanacek bandwagon in terms of this guy is going to be great. He's going to be the backup. I thought it was going to be Copley because he has more experience, and I felt like they were more likely to give him the opportunity. But as if they announce specifically who is going to be Holpe's backup?
They didn't, but given the fact that Vitek got the call for the exhibition game, I would assume that means he's going to be the backup in the next game. Now, of course, Holpe is the number one guy, and I'm pretty sure he's going to be the number one guy going forward. I don't think his job is in danger, but if I'm Reardon and I want to give Vitek some NHL experience and I'm calling him my backup, then yeah, I give him the exhibition game and then he's the next guy.
I mean, that's based on that game. Yes, that's what it sounds like.
But I mean, Phoenix Copley, Vitek Vanacek, I think both of them are good backups, but Braden Holpe is still the number one guy. So it scares me that Samsonov is already hurt. And this apparently was not COVID related. It was an injury that he got even before. It's weird that they would bring him back to the U.S. though, if he was hurt. Why bring him back, fly him all the way back to the U.S., especially nowadays, to have him not go to the bubble and not practice in training camp? So I don't know if it happened after coming back from Russia and then he was practicing and then tweaked something, but definitely sucks to not have him be a part of this team right now.
I mean, yeah, because he's the future. But this tournament's so freaking weird, I don't know if it really matters at this point. I mean, the Caps have an interesting situation to deal with after the season in terms of needing to re-sign Holpe. And so
Does this put more emphasis on re-signing Holpe? The fact that Samsonov is now hurt in his first season?
No.
You don't think so? Doesn't no, say like players, we can't count on him?
If it was consistent where he was getting hurt all the time.
I don't think he has a history of it, right? Like, there was no history of him in Russia being hurt, playing in the KHL. I mean, Kuzi had issues with being hurt in the KHL. That worked out.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, you have guys that can get long-term injuries when they're younger as their bodies are still technically, or can be growing still. And so, as younger players tend to get hurt, especially because their bodies are not used to that, the physical toll
right
that it takes on them. Now, we don't know. He got hurt during the lockdown when everything was going on in the spring, so I don't know what he was doing, but you know, he's gonna be out. If I had to guess, it's a groin injury just based on the fact that he's able to do like pretty much everything else,
and he's a goalie.
I don't think his injury necessarily plays a part in the decision as to whether they're gonna bring back Holpe or not, or trade him, whatever the case may be. I think that they already had made up their mind. I think if the injury looks like it's longer lasting, then like it would affect him going into next season, then yeah, that might play a part in terms of it's a 1 or 2 year deal or whatever the case may be. But for right now, I don't think so.
Now, in our last show, you said about what happens if Holtby were to go down.
Game over.
Yeah, you said season's over, we're done, go leave the bubble and go head home. Zach Fish, who is the voice of the Hershey Bears, was talking about Vitek Vanacek, and of course he's seen him more than we have. He tweeted, Vitek Vanacek stops 13 of 14 in the third period as the Caps win their lone exhibition game 3-2 over Carolina. Vitek was sharp, aggressive, and controlled in his rebounds as well. Well done, Vitek, and man, is it good to watch the Caps again. Holtby only had to face 13 shots through 40 minutes. Meanwhile, Vitek has stopped 9 of 10 so far in 9 minutes of work. So this was a tweet before the last tweet I just read. He's looking really solid. Only goal came in a 5-on-3 on a world-class play by Aho. So looking at the highlights that you saw yesterday and seeing some of Vitek's work, are you still thinking if Holtby goes down, we're done? Even after what you've seen from Vitek?
Yeah, it's only one game. Yes. It's only been one game. I'm not like, this guy is the greatest thing since Grant Fuhr. He's going to lead us to the promised land. Like that, no, he played one game. Like, everybody, settle down. Let's see him do it consistently. And then I'll be like, this guy's greatest thing since Grant Fuhr. You know, like, I need to see more. I need to see much more to decide as to whether they can be like, next season it could be Samsonov and Vanacek. And I will never be able to pronounce their names correctly, nor probably spell them on... Well, Samsonov's pretty easy to spell. Vanacek I'm going to have some trouble with, I'll be honest. Like, if he's the backup.
Vitek, way easier to spell.
And Phoenix doesn't even spell like the city. That screws me up even more. Every time you try and write it out, and the iPhone auto-corrects you. I'm like, no, I don't want Phoenix, I want Phoenix. Or however he spells it. But the point is... I don't know. No, I need to see more from him before I'm, like, buying his jersey.
We'll see. We'll see. I mean, you can get yourself a jersey. That's what I think you'll do.
No, I'm not allowed to buy any more shirts either, Funkos or shirts. I have way too many T-shirts, dude.
Monday, August 3rd is the next time the Caps play. This is a real game. This is a round robin for them, I guess, to get the seeding for the actual tournament. I am so confused. I fully am okay admitting.
Yeah, I thought the Caps got a bye.
They got a bye, but they still have to figure out the seeding for the tournament. So the round robin is, I don't know. The round robin is to figure out who faces whom in the tournament. So they've got 3 games coming up against the Lightning, the Flyers, and Boston and the Bruins. And then they'll decide who they face after round one. So it's very strange. So really the Caps after round one could face anyone, which is crazy to think about.
Mm-hmm.
Who are the other teams? Let me look this up. Let me look up the Stanley Cup playoffs.
But I think this whole thing is so weird that, like I was saying earlier, that even if you win the cup, you're going to be like, all right. I mean, it probably won't be that way for the players. Oh God, he's angry, everybody.
Okay. All right. So this isn't what I'm looking for, but this still will help. This was so difficult to find. Thank you, Forbes, for giving me this information. Friggin' NHL.
Redesign. On their behalf, you're welcome.
Redesign your website, NHL. It's terrible. But, all right, so the qualifying round and matchups. You have the Penguins against the Canadiens. You have Carolina against the Rangers. You got the Islanders against the Panthers. You got the Maple Leafs against the Blue Jackets. Now, depending on the seeding of the round robin, the Capitals could play any of those teams. Any of them at all.
You know, no, stop. We don't even have to do any projections, pay attention to their games. You know damn well who the Capitals are going to end up playing against.
All right, so why do you want them to go against the Penguins?
I'm not saying I want it. I'm just saying the hockey gods are going to make it happen because they're a bunch of jerks, and they always make this kind
of... No, a bunch of jerks, happen. That's the Hurricanes.
Yeah, I know. Moving on.
So you're really thinking it's going to be the Penguins? Montreal is not going to give them any kind of...
No, Montreal sucks.
Why are they here?
Because they allowed right now, if you're one of the teams that didn't get invited, like, you really suck. Like, they let everybody in this thing. So if you're, like, the Buffalo Sabres, you're like, no.
And Detroit.
Really, we're really well. Detroit already knows they're bad. They are on a full on rebuild.
Pre-COVID, Detroit was like, "Hey, we're stopping the season. That's cool. We can't lose the Stanley Cup if we weren't contending for it."
That's true, I guess. But no, like the Sabres, they have been trying to rebuild. It is just not going well. Did they fire like everybody?
Yeah, I think they did fire everybody.
Speaking of guys who got fired, did you see about the story in Arizona with the Coyotes?
That's been a weird one. Walk me through that.
Their GM just up and quit. I only saw a little bit of the information because Arizona doesn't really care. But like he was the youngest general manager at like 26. I think he's in his like mid-30s now or early 30s, something like that. Or something like that, right? And so he was just like, or 36 when he retired. Anyways, and right before this whole thing's going to start, because they're there. They're not in Toronto. They're in Edmonton. And he was just like, all right, deuces. I'm out.
Best of luck, guys.
He quit. It wasn't like he didn't get fired. It's the club came out with a press release stating, or an issue, or maybe not a press release, but just a release, saying the club is disappointed in his action and his timing as the Coyotes prepare to enter the NHL's hub city of Edmonton, where the team will begin postseason play for the first time since 2012. Shaka, if I'm saying his name right, has chosen to quit on a strong and competitive team, a dedicated staff, and the Arizona Coyotes fans. That all right there, that is a print version of a middle finger to him. The greatest fans in the NHL. Okay, when anyone says that, it doesn't mean anything. Said the Coyotes, who named assistant GM Steve Sullivan as interim GM. He later released a statement to AZ Coyotes insider and writer Craig Morgan later that day. The past 4 years have been the most enjoyable of my life. I think I got the age thing completely wrong. Enjoy my life. In Arizona, I became a husband and a father while working as hard as possible to make the Coyotes a Stanley Cup contender. I love our players, coaches, staff, and fans, and I very much wish I could be with them in Edmonton. Sadly, the situation created by ownership made that an impossibility. That's all I intended. I can't read. That's all I intend to say on this. Why do you think I do an audio podcast? That's all I intend to say on this matter for now. A fuller, more detailed explanation may be necessary in the near future. Oh, this is getting good. Until then, I wish the Coyotes good luck in Edmonton and thank every member of our pack. Oh, Jesus. For the support shown to Catherine, our daughter, and myself over the years. Also, I want to congratulate Steve Sullivan as he steps into a new role. We've worked side by side for years. He's a great person and a terrific hockey mind. What happened? I'm so curious. This is all from ESPN. I am so curious right now. This went from like a nothing story to like, I want to know.
So you're telling me there's a GM job open.
I'm available. Although Arizona is not doing so well right now, COVID related, so never mind. If I can do it virtually, sure. Otherwise, no. I have to imagine he gets a job somewhere else, depending on how all this went down. But I also kind of feel like that might maybe not right away, because he just straight up left. So I think what news that comes out later will determine his ability to get another job in the NHL. But I have to imagine some teams are like, yeah, a little sketchy that he just dipped. But yeah, that's a bit weird. We have other NHL news to discuss.
Yeah, let's talk about it.
The 32nd team has a name.
Oh, right. Yeah, we didn't talk about this yet.
No. So the 32nd team has a name, and I think it's stupid. In a shocking display, I don't like something the NHL has done. You know what it is? I'm the grumpy old people that make the jokes in Muppets. They have a name that I can't think of at the moment. But yeah, I don't know. I don't like it. I think it's
so dumb. You don't like the Kraken?
Nope. I get it. Release the Kraken. Like, it's great for marketability, for in-arena stuff with the fans. But it just sounds like such a minor league name. Logo's okay. The S is okay. I think you pointed out the unintentional pigeon.
Pigeon?
No, I guess it wasn't you. Okay, so go look up their logo real quick. Okay, everybody, go on your computer, your phone, whatever it is you're looking or you're using to listen to us, our nonsense. Okay, look up the Seattle Kraken.
Where's there a pigeon?
Okay, so you see the top of the S.
Uh-huh.
Where the red eye. I mean, okay. Maybe it's a bird. Okay, so look at the black space there.
So that's supposed to be a bird?
I don't think it's supposed to be, but it looks like one.
Okay, so
Now that you all have seen that, you will never be able to unsee it.
Let's talk a little bit about this S logo, okay?
It's okay.
So a Kraken is an octopi, which, okay, that's why there's tentacles.
That killed Captain Jack Sparrow, yes, we know.
Inside the S, that was a terrible movie. That second one I fell asleep during.
The second and third, my sister hates that I argue with her about this, but the second and third could easily have been edited down into one film.
Yeah, absolutely. It would have been long.
It would have been long. Where's Topher Grace? He does that. He edits movies.
Yeah, that could have been on Avid, by the way. That's what I use.
Mr. Grace, if you could edit that for us, that would be great.
That's called a money grab. That's Disney. That's what they do. But all right. So if that is a tentacle, okay, inside the S, what's the red thing? Is that an eye?
Yeah. No, that's like the chest of the bird. No, that I think is supposed to be the. I'm telling you, now that you've seen it, the bird, you're never going to unsee it. I think that's supposed to be the eye.
Have they never seen an octopus before?
I'm guessing. Yeah, it's supposed to be the head, and then I don't know, man.
Because if that's supposed to be the eye, that makes it look like it's a snake, like a serpent.
You know what? You're right. It does look more like a snake.
Yeah.
I do like the secondary logo.
With the anchor?
Yeah, and the Space Needle. I actually think that one's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Like, that's a really good secondary logo.
Yeah, that's not bad. That's a tattoo if they ever win the Stanley Cup for their fans. That's an easy, easy tattoo.
I agree. I think that's a really good one. I kind of mind the font because it's a bit silly. The jersey's okay. I think TJ Oshie will look good in that jersey. But you know what? It's going to stand out. It doesn't look like any other team's jersey.
No, that's true. I agree with that. I dig the jersey. I dig the anchor. I don't like the S because the S makes it look like it's a serpent. And correct. The tentacles, that's not an octopi eye. It's not.
An octopi. So what name should they have gone with? I like, it never would have worked because of the MLS team, but the Seattle Sound, I actually think, would have been a good
also, one. Krakens are in the Caribbean. Is there a northwestern octopus? Like, is that a thing?
I could Google that, but that might be weird.
Is Washington State known for their octopus? Giant octopus revealed. Where is this?
Damn you, Lyle.
In 2013, locals voted on the 11 wonders of Tacoma, Washington, through an online survey released by the city. Staples like the Museum of Glass, blah, 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 blah. One of the locals, there's a giant octopus under the Tacoma Narrow Bridge. So there is. So there, okay, cool. Name it the Kraken then. You got, there's a large octopus that lives in one of your rivers. Go for it.
That's stupid.
This Washington town believes a giant octopus lurks in its waters. All right, cool. This is like the New Jersey Devils. I'm for it. Done and done. You go Seattle.
So yeah, I don't know. I mean, it sounds very silly. And I think they definitely botched the first logo, but whatever.
Well, this also very easy way to get a rum company to sponsor your team if you're named the Kraken. Because there is the Kraken rum, which actually is a pretty good rum. Mix it with a little eggnog at Christmas. Good stuff.
If you say so. I don't know. Last bit of Caps news. Garnett Hathaway has been named the club's 2019-2020 nominee for the King Clancy Memorial Trophy. The Caps announced it's awarded to the player who best exemplifies leadership qualities on and off the ice and has made a noteworthy humanitarian contribution in his community. So congrats to him. That's pretty cool.
I know he does a lot with the fire department around the D.C. area, so that's really cool and good for him. Garnett Hathaway, good guy there. He'll hit you in the face if you're on the ice, though.
It's happened.
Anything else going on around the NHL?
Probably, but I can't think of anything. Work's been a bit crazy, and we don't usually have to record in the summer, so I just focus on work. So it's a little weird that we're actually doing it. So yeah, it's going to be interesting to have the draft and free agency in October. I imagine it'd probably be a short, because when's the season supposed to start up again? Probably, if the AHL is doing December, I have to imagine the NHL is going to be right around then too.
December, January. I still think it's a really bad idea to not start the season with the Winter Classic. Why would that not be your first game?
That actually is a brilliant marketing idea. I
must Come say. On.
Brilliant idea. Then you get 2 months. Oh, no, no, no. Well, yeah, I guess not 2 months of free agency, because technically you're still free agent. But, like, I'm thinking more of European football stuff. But you get like, October for the draft and the start of free agency. You then have November and December, although preseason usually only a couple of weeks. Then you have, you know, November as your sort of August or July and August time. And then you have December as your preseason leading into. Although, is there an issue with the winter break for the holidays that will mess up the preseason stuff by starting on January 1?
You start on January 1. Hopefully fans can be back in the stands by that point. That's Christmas.
Oh, no way, unless there's a vaccine.
I would hope there's a vaccine by January. That's been the projected time frame because they're testing now. Usually those kind of things take like 2-3 years, but I think this is a bigger deal. But if they allow fans in January, Christmas gifts, tickets to the first Caps game, that's how you boost sales.
Ooh, I like where your head's at on this one.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
This is good. This is good stuff. I like it. I like the idea of January 1, but I do think that winter break would mess up the preseason because they could have – you know, the 3 or 4 days off, which might mess up with sort of the exhibition and getting everybody in shape. Maybe it wouldn't, you know, because in the season you have a couple days off. So, I don't know. It's all a mess.
Yeah. Well, if you'd like to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, when do you think the new season will start? You can tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. I'm not very active on Twitter anymore, but you can tweet to me. I will answer back at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan, occasionally using that as a source of sending out my thoughts to the world regarding sports. Got a big game on Saturday for Arsenal Football Club in the FA Cup Final. Suck it, Ryan. I hope you lose and you're unhappy. And it's my birthday on Saturday, so they need to win not only for themselves and to get into the to play in Europe, but also to give me a birthday present. I also occasionally on there talking about the Caps when things are actually happening and I can watch games, which given they're at 4 o'clock, I can't. As well as the newly named Washington football team.
Creative, right there.
Anything else that comes to mind in the wide world of sports? That's at WTP Coach Dan. But if you have enjoyed our show and our rambling, as we tend to do every week as we go off topic, but I'll be honest, it's still fun. Go ahead and check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. It's where we'll post when new shows are coming out, as well as all sorts of other interesting things regarding the Washington Capitals, their affiliates, or the NHL, or anything even mildly related to hockey that Brandon finds fun.
Yeah.
He will post it on there. He will put that information on there as well. That's facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. Jesus. What is wrong with me today? Brandon.
Yeah.
Given that the NFL is going to be coming back, but there are no preseason games, which is a bit odd. If they are a fan of a certain purple team that is not in the state of Minnesota.
Don't you know?
Is there a podcast that they could listen to that might be interesting to them?
Yeah, if you're a Ravens fan and you like Lamar Jackson, who was number one in the top 100 voted by the other players in the NFL. He was voted number one last night.
Mistakes.
Lamar Jackson and the Ravens. You can listen to the call.
He was one over
Mahomes.
Mahomes?
Mahomes really? Came in fourth.
Wait, who's 2 and 3?
I don't remember. They're not important. They're not
Brady
Lamar Jackson.
And...
No, he was 12, I think.
I was kidding about Brady.
But if you're a fan of the Ravens, you can listen to The Call. That's my Ravens podcast. And you can listen to that wherever you listen to What the Puck. Like Coach Dan said, check us over out on Facebook, facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. Now, we do the show for free. You listen, stream, and you download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcast, and Spotify. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review, and then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Twitch and TikTok, anywhere you're social on the web or with your phone. Say, I'm a Washington Capitals fan. I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. So let's talk about these round robin games coming up. The Caps are up against the Tampa Bay Lightning in Toronto. They are up against the Lightning at 4 o'clock on Monday the 3rd. You can watch that locally on NBC Sports Washington or nationally on NBC Sports. And then on Thursday, the Caps are up against the Flyers. We don't have a time for that yet. We don't know. I guess everything happens on Monday. We'll then tell you the seeding for the next one. So keep that day clear. August 6th on Thursday, Caps Flyers at some point. And then on Sunday, August 9th, the Capitals are up against the Bruins, again in Toronto, in that hub city. Again, don't know when, but keep that Sunday the 9th open. What else are you going to do? We're still in quarantine here. Where are you going? You can't go out anywhere. Stay home and watch some puck, eh? So that is pretty much it for the show this week. Coach Dan, what's going to happen? Caps going to go undefeated? They're going to be number one seed? What do you think?
Out of three games, I'm going... Well, you know what? It's with Carlson, 2-1, without 1-2.
Really? One and two.
Who are they playing again? Who are they playing again?
Lightning, Flyers, Bruins.
Lightning was the one I forgot, even though that's the next one. Why couldn't they play on the freaking weekend? Bruins. Yeah, I stand by my statement.
All right.
I'm wrong, but that doesn't matter.
All right, John Carlson, get well soon, buddy. We need you there. All right, everybody. Say it loud, say it proud. Wear a mask.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman, voiceover by Sarah Jax. For more information, go to brandocash.com.
Well, the problem I'm having now is that my kid likes to come into my office here, and then I have a bunch of them, and he knocks them all on the floor.
Yeah.
And wants to play with them. So I have to figure out how to make him stop doing that before he tries to either eat one or play. How do you keep finding the chase ones?
They're right on my wall next to me.
No, not at the moment in the store, man.
Sorry. this one was luck. This one was Amazon. And you see,
he just showed up at your door and you were like, whoa.
Yeah, he's got the Star-Lord mask on. He's not supposed to.
Okay.
But this one, the Pennywise chase... this one was just sitting at a GameStop one day, and I'm like, oh my God.
Like, I will have that one.
And I'm like, you realize what you have right here? This is a chase. And it's like the GameStop that's hidden in a shopping center.
And the guy did
the
same thing I did. He went, what?
Yeah, the guy's like, what does that mean?
It moves?
Yeah, nothing. It means nothing. Just let me have it.
Don't worry about it. All right, we should probably get back to actual hockey, not toys.
Yeah, okay, I guess so. Toys are cool, though.